Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins and I've got a couple of silly guys here with me.
My name is Indigno Montoya. You kill my father, prepare to die.
And Chris Gilpin.
All right. Change to the lineup there. I guess we're going with a swordsman instead of a comic book.
I like nerd. The comic books. It's a very good place to read the comic books.
Inconceivable.
All right. It's going to be one of those shows. And after Sam's...
you start rhyming, you'll be in
Sam's after Sam's Scott show last week,
yeah,
well. I thought we'd be in for a normal show this week, but I guess not.
No.
And of course, that was actually Marty, not... Not the guy from The Princess Bride.
That's right.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
So what's happening this week?
Apparently lots of foolishness and...
Kiddiness.
I totally blame the radio show before us. Because as I was driving up here, I was listening to the blues on the radio show. And the lyric in the song is... What is it again?
The Blues Cruise.
Yes. I met her on the Blues Cruise. That's the lyric.
Yes.
The whole way up here, all I could hear in my head was, I met her watching Blues Clues.
Our age is showing.
So I'm sitting in the car. Blues Clues. Blues Clues.
And it snowballed from there.
And it snowballed from there. The ridiculousness continued from there.
That's right.
It was just bananas.
In pajamas.
Uh-oh.
Bananas in pajamas.
The
there you go.
All right. Well, we're all going to be fired if we don't.
We're a little giddy because some of us went on an early morning road trip this morning.
So. Road trip. Yes, we did. We went to go get our comics down by in the Whitby area.
Yeah.
And stopped in a few spots here and there and found a few things here and there. And
yeah.
It was cool.
Pickering Flea Market. So here's the scene. We get there. And Martin's like, oh, we want to go get something to eat. Oh, that's cool. We're hungry. Okay. We're hungry. Okay.
No, I'm not hungry. Well, I ate breakfast.
You said we're hungry.
I said they are hungry. They're getting breakfast.
So off we go to the food court.
So I'm sitting there in the food court because he's going to tell this story incorrectly.
No, I'm not.
The boys went to go get food, and I said, where's Chris? And they went, I don't know. I think he went to the bathroom.
Yes.
Either that or he's going to come back with a big stack of comics because he's going to see what's there already. So I went,
why, you little waskly wabbit.
So, whoosh, I went.
So off Martin goes.
Off I went.
And I was in the bathroom, by the way.
There you go.
So we're waiting 20 minutes. So we're building, yeah. So
20 minutes. They were eating. You weren't there. I don't know where you went.
I was in the washroom. Anyways.
For 20 minutes? What did you eat for breakfast?
I was waiting for you for 20 minutes. Anyways.
Anyways.
So I go to a specific booth that we were
cut
looking for.
Cut out the Polish kibasa in the morning. Oh, 20 minutes.
Because when I was there a couple weeks ago, I spotted a bunch of issues of Dark Shadow. And I didn't grab them for Sam, but I knew that he would.
And of course, you showed Sam the wrong booth on purpose.
I did show him the wrong booth, but I did find the right booth. But when I got there, and our other Dan B and Sam were having breakfast, I find the guy, and he's there, and I'm looking through, and I said, oh, man. I don't see that. There was some Dark Shadow books here, you know. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, said I don't think he was actually owner. He was running it, but he goes, yeah. There was another guy here. He bought like 40 comics, and yeah, not too long ago. So I'm like, did he have dark glasses, beard? Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, Martin.
Yeah, just to be fair, there was only one Dark Shadows book there, and I gave it to Sam. So.
That's just fun. Did he have glasses? Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah.
I ran. I put him in the trunk. I went back to the food court, and I sat down. I'm like, where's Chris? He better not be gone to get comics. Start without us.
Oh, man. Anyways, that was the start. We were there by 9-ish, so.
I wish Sam was here to help with the story because he would tell us what he was eating, how delicious it was, because
he had a hamburger.
Food.
He had a hamburger and fries for breakfast.
Well, it was second breakfast, to be fair.
So you're allowed to have burger and fries for second breakfast. That's valid.
What all time was it?
About 9:30.
That's okay.
10 o'clock-ish, 9-ish.
I'm a guy that could eat a hamburger almost any time of the day, but that's a little early even for me.
Dan got brave. He ate flea market, food court, bacon and eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
As long as it's not the clam chowder.
Yeah, exactly.
Chowder.
I'll have the shrimp cocktail, please. I'm sure that's fresh.
Yeah. But Pickering Flea Market, or Pickering Markets, as I believe they like, they've got a lot of comics.
Yeah, I've never been there.
It's a good place to wander around.
All right.
Although I did not see that completely random. Remember that completely random Spider-Man I told you about? Some completely random 90s Spider-Man, graded 9.8. The guy wanted like $300 for it.
Oh, what I thought was the best was the other guy down. I'm not sure if you saw the booth either. Dollar store frames. Mm-hmm. And he's got dollar comic in the dollar store frame. He doesn't have it matted in any way, shape, or form. It's the raw cardboard from the backing on the frame.
Yeah.
You know, he took the little fake photograph out. So it didn't even have black comic. Or, you know, and the comic is sitting in there, no bag, no board, $45.
$45.
Yeah.
For a dollar copy of, like, you know, whatever it was, Wolverine and Spider-Man. It was horrible. You had three different issues there, $45 each. I'm like, oh, I should, like, do this at the barn. I'm sure lots of people are gullible enough to buy this.
So, as usual, do your research. But, yeah, lots of comics. There's definitely lots of comics there to look through.
Yeah, well, I'll have to go with you guys someday.
Yeah, for sure.
And I will get left in the washroom, though.
Yeah.
You guys will actually leave.
The washrooms are over there.
Yeah, washrooms are over there. Now, the other cool thing that they have out there is they have a whole bunch of, intellectual property stealing prints of, like, comic book covers and stuff that somebody printed into a big, huge frame and, 24 by 36 and stuff like that. So they got some pretty neat little pieces of art there. But I'm sure you guys know at comic conventions and stuff, they have those people that are making prints of other people's art and other people's characters and stuff. They had a show in, I'm totally blanking out here. I think it was in Toronto. Jason Liu was showing at that show. And that was one of the first shows where they explicitly said, in Artist Alley, you are not allowed to have any intellectual property that's not yours.
Oh, okay.
No prints of Spider-Man if you're not Marvel Comics. No prints of somebody else's art unless you drew it. All original characters, all original art. You want to do a landscape, you want to do a dog, you want to do your own character. Cool. No Deadpools because you don't own Deadpool. So I thought that was kind of neat. I think that's going to be a trend.
I think that's coming.
Well, it depends. I mean, should the owner and creator of Deadpool not get some compensation if you're creating a piece of Deadpool art and putting it up there? Like if, I don't know.
It is a good question for sure.
Because you know for a fact that if you were to like start making Mickey Mouse characters, the House of Mouse would slam down on you with such a fleet of lawyers that it would be ridiculous. Well, who owns Marvel now?
Yeah.
Disney. So
where did you say that was? Because we were at...
Toronto Comic Convention. It wasn't Toronto Comic Con. It was
after the Comic Con, yeah.
Oh, because there was tons of stuff.
I'd have to look it up, but...
But that would basically shut down Artist Alley.
No, not at all. When I go down to Artist Alley, like Jason Liu's got his original stuff. Andrew Thomas has his original stuff. Aishay Hand's got his Homeless G-Man and his original stuff. Like, all sorts of people have original stuff that they're selling.
So it would be an Artist One Street, though, not Artist Alley.
Oh, I don't
think
so. It
would be reduced greatly.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
There's tons of characters, Marvel, DC, drawn by other people. That's how they make their money.
Yeah, but they're making their money not giving the owner of that copyright material their percentage.
I understand that.
So if
But what we're just arguing is that those people don't have their own stuff to sell, so the Artist Alley would be greatly reduced.
Maybe they shouldn't be selling. I don't know. Everybody that I go to at Artist Alley that I like seeing all has original stuff. You know, get creative.
Yeah.
If you're a good artist and you're not creative, team up with somebody who is creative. I mean, Denny O'Neill can't draw a stitch. And yet he teams up with Neil Adams, and you get these great, amazing Batman comics. So same thing, you know, team up with somebody. If you got an original concept and you can't draw, team up with an artist and get that stuff out there. You know, Davis, I don't know if Davis Dewsbury can draw or not, but he's the writer. Andrew's the artist of Auric. And here you go. Here's this original creation that they're out there peddling and selling and going about.
That was actually created by Mike Ruth.
Yeah, the original character was designed by Mike Ruth for a, I'm not sure, did we ever cover this? It was like
I'm not sure if we actually went too in depth.
Yeah. It was like a mascot that they did for the
Northern Ontario Expo.
Exactly, Northern Ontario Expo. And Andrew at one point in time approached Davis and said, are you guys doing anything with this character? I mean, we should do something, flesh it out and stuff. So they did and created a character. So, but yeah, Mike Ruth did the original character design.
Yeah, I have mixed emotions about
that. Yeah, because your entire apartment is decorated with IP infringing.
But what if I want to get a sketch cover from somebody? Then, like, that's basically the same thing.
And those sketch covers were, to my knowledge, not permitted. So if you asked a Marvel artist to draw a Marvel character on a Marvel blank sketch cover book, I feel like the House of Mouse would be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were asking Joe Blow to draw a Deadpool on a piece of paper that you then intended to resell, maybe not. But this was specifically for Joe Blow artist not being allowed to take Deadpool, draw it on a piece of paper, make 1,000 prints of that,
yeah,
and sell those prints for $10 a piece. That's specifically what they were trying to prevent.
Right.
So I don't know.
So maybe, like, a sketch cover wasn't exactly what they were intending to stop.
We should ask Jason and find out if sketch covers were kind of banned from that thing or not. Because it basically just said, you know, IP.
Yeah.
No intellectual property. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the House of Mouse wants a couple of percentages every time Neil Adams charges $450 to draw Spider-Man on a cover, or maybe he needs to pay Warner Brothers every time he charges $450 for a sketch cover.
Yeah.
And puts Neil Adams on, you know, puts Darth Vader. Oh, it's one of those days. Puts Batman on a sketch cover. You know, because in theory, yeah, Neil Adams is a legendary Batman character. He doesn't own Batman. He's not allowed to just draw Batman and charge money for it. Or maybe he is. Maybe it's in his contract. It says he's allowed to do that kind of promotional stuff. I don't know.
See, to me, this is more like San Diego Comic-Con Fan Expo becoming more business than fan.
Yeah.
Well, right? I would argue exactly the opposite, because an artist drawing a picture for a fan,
yeah,
right? That is fan work. I completely agree with you there. But that same artist then making 1,000 copies of that and charging $10 a print, that is a commercial business for that artist. That's no longer doing something for the fan. So in my personal opinion, I think it would be fantastic if Marvel, DC, and everybody says, yes, you as an artist are allowed to draw a hand-drawn sketch of a character and give it to a fan. That is being a fan. If you decide to charge $450 for that sketch,
yeah,
that's a business.
I was more referring to the artists themselves as being fans of the industry and drawing these characters and putting all the effort into painting, drawing, coloring, whatever they do.
That's great, but they don't own that character. They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I really like the look of the Canadian $100 bill. And if I could draw the Canadian $100 bill as much as I wanted to and, you know, print out a couple of 1,000 copies of it and charge people $10, I feel like somebody might get upset about that.
Right.
I feel like there might be some repercussions.
Right. What if you happen to buy a dollar bill and its value went up and you gave it or sold it to someone else for $1.50? Is that good or bad?
People do that all the time with collector bills. The old stuff and things like that. So long as you can still go to the bank with that $1 bill and say, give me my dollar, which is the case. No matter how old that $1 bill is, you can walk into a bank and exchange it for a fresh brand new, well, a fresh brand new loonie, but
Wait, there was dollar bills?
There's a point.
Yeah, well, there was dollar bills? Yes, there were dollar bills. I have a nice stack of them saved up from the 30s just in case I ever invent that time machine so I can go back and get a big stack of Action Comics number ones. So I've built up a little nest egg of era-appropriate paper currency.
So this is my point, right? You buy a comic, it goes up in value. You sell it for profit. Marvel's not making anything off that.
No, profit. But Marvel got paid their initial fee for that character, for that publication.
Yeah, but how long before they say, hey, this thing's not, you know, this thing's now worth $100, $200.
No, that's totally different. They originally got paid for the use of that. Yeah. And it's just like this whole nonsense about CDs and stuff. You buy a music CD, you're allowed to turn around and sell it. Well, actually, you're not. If you read, you know, the fine print and everything, you don't own the music. You only own that delivery system. You have no rights to a replacement disc if that disc breaks. You have no rights to transfer that disc, the music on that disc, to another medium and stuff like this. Like, it's all of a sudden you're talking licensing agreements, just like software and stuff.
So you can't sell CDs or records that you buy.
In theory.
So how long before the comic book companies step up and say, all this stuff going on eBay?
It'll never happen.
We want a cut of that.
No, it'll never happen. That's because you're selling a physical device. Like, I don't think it's illegal to sell the physical disc. But when you buy the disc, you don't have any rights to the intellectual property on that disc. Same thing with a comic book. You've purchased a comic book. You're allowed to resell that comic book to a collector or to another shop. You do not have any rights to the characters in that book. You can't then say, I really like this panel, so I'm going to draw this panel out, print off 1,000 copies, and sell it for $10 at a show. Well, you don't have rights to it. Well, I bought the comic that the picture appeared in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, to me, somebody who takes covers, blows them up, and sells them or puts them in frames and sells them, to me, that's different than somebody who spends hours or however long it takes to actually draw these things out of their own time.
But it just means he spent more time stealing the intellectual property. That's all that means.
I understand where you're coming from.
Like, absolutely. The guy who's just blowing up art that somebody else drew and reselling it, that's a whole nother...
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say douchebaggery on the radio? That's a whole nother... You know, that's a whole nother level of bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't agree with that at all. But, I mean, let's say your artist friend... Why can't they draw an original creation? Like, I have my little Captain Polska character that I've created. So I have a great fun time asking people to draw a Captain Polska character because it's mine. I did it, and it's cool to see my own creation done by different people. And they get a kick out of it because it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't have to draw Deadpool again. I don't have to draw Mary Jane in really short cut-off shorts anymore when the guy keeps coming up to me saying, can you make the shorts shorter? A little shorter, please? Can she be in glue?
But, I mean, I know there are original artists in Artist Alley, but there are tons of people that do exactly what you're saying. And this would destroy Artist Alley, in my opinion.
I don't think it'll destroy Artist Alley at all. It'll just refocus it to being people that do honest-to-goodness arts and crafts with their own material. Like, I would say that, like, for example, and I'm guilty of it too, because I've bought a print of Captain Canuck. This guy drew Captain Canuck, was selling prints. Cost me $10. I like Captain Canuck. I bought it. Great. Do I think that Chapter House received a single penny for this? I doubt it.
No, is this, sorry, a copy of a cover or
no, no, it's just a hand drawing that he did, right? But then he then mass produced it.
Yeah.
So for him... He took that intellectual property and turned it into a business endeavor. It wasn't an original piece of art that he drew out of fandom. He's making a profit. He's earning money on somebody else's intellectual property. That's the whole where the legality of it occurs.
Yeah. No, I understand both sides.
He had that Captain Canuck print, but he also had a whole bunch of other stuff that he did that was original.
Yeah.
You know, he just happened to have a Captain Canuck print as well.
Yeah. I just think it's going to hurt Artist Alley big time.
I think it'll just change Artist Alley. I don't think it'll hurt.
Well, I mean, when I personally, and there's no offense to anybody in any degree of any level of talent or product or whatever, but when I go to Artist Alley, the biggest crowds I see are in front of these guys doing people that characters that people know.
Okay. Well, what happens if, let's say, like your radio station, right? Radio station pays a fee to an agency. That agency then makes payouts to the artists through whatever the Canadian version of the RIAA is. So they, in theory, are paying a license fee to allow you to broadcast. So why can't Marvel say, okay, you guys want to start drawing Marvel characters? Yeah. That's great. For 1% or for 2% of whatever you're making, you have a limited license to create characters. Or Marvel can turn around and say, listen, we like the fact that you're promoting our stuff. We don't mind if you do hand-drawn characters and sell the original images. But you're not going to be allowed to mass produce it and then sell the prints. Right. So, I mean, nobody's actually said, like, no, none of the publishers have actually cracked down on this. Disney hasn't said anything yet. Warner Brothers hasn't said anything yet. But they will eventually catch on. They will eventually say this. Like, this debate's been going on for about 4 or 5 years. This isn't new. Yeah. I just thought this was interesting. This was the first show that I personally have seen where they specifically said Artist Alley is for original work only.
It is what it is. It's going to do what it's going to do, but...
Now, the other thing is like, let's say we know that one lady who does furniture, right? She cuts up comic books, pastes it up on the furniture, and then, you know, glazes it and stuff, and here's your little Spider-Man table.
Yeah.
I would think that would be okay because she's cutting up the original comic book.
Yeah.
There's some arts and crafts involved there and stuff like this. She's not, you know, again, mass producing. Marvel got their money from the sale of that comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these guys are just taking a picture off the internet, blowing it up, light boxing it, coloring it digitally on the computer, and then printing off 1,000 copies at Staples and then charging $10 a copy. Like, holy moly, that's not right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but I just can't see Disney, the most litigious IP company in the entire history of the universe. I mean...
No, I know.
They got copyright laws changed and amendments made to various copyright acts and lobbying all to the high heavens to make sure that nobody else can make a Mickey Mouse cartoon. So it's coming. There's no doubt.
I'm just one of these extremists where when it starts and it starts to snowball. Like, okay, no more cosplay as people that you recognize and... No more sales on eBay unless we get our cut of your inflation prices of...
Yeah, I think when it comes to that, I think regular, you know, fair use policy laws will stop them from being able to say that. I cannot see anybody ever saying, hey, you sold this Beatles album for $500. You now owe Ringo
$300.
It's never happened before. It's probably not going to happen now with physical items. But we're not talking about the physical item that... the original IP owner got paid for. We're talking about taking something that they didn't get paid for and make a profit off of it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I don't agree with it, but I understand what you're saying.
All right. Well, I think that's enough of intellectual properties for one lawyer show.
What else you got?
For one lawyer show.
What else you got?
You got some news there, Chris, or something? You got a sheet of paper.
Oh, well, this was from last week, but we kind of got distracted last week with Scotch and whatnot.
Scotch!
We covered a couple things from last week.
Now, just to be fair to poor Sam, I was enjoying quite a bit of Scotch at home while he was here.
Yes, that is right. So. You were the one pouring the Scotch.
I was the one pouring the Scotch.
A New Mutants movie. Which is not really surprising.
No.
But what caught... And I don't know if it's good or bad. This, I believe, is the producer. Fun of it for me, working with the X-Men universe, creating these sort of standalone movies that have a different vibe to them. And the New Mutants will have more of a young adult vibe to it. Which... Okay, what does that mean?
That means Divergent. That means Mockingbird. Whatever that Hunger Games. It'll be that type of an audience that they're aiming for. They're not making a movie for a 47-year-old comic book nerd. They're making movies for teens and tweens and stuff like this to capture that market. So everybody's going to be using Twitter. Everybody's going to be using Snapchat. They're going to say, you know, LOL.
You know. So even though the 47-year-old comic nerd is who wants to see like, it the
you
most.
Remember the bar scene in Deadpool where they're all sitting in the bar and everyone's drinking, having fun? Yeah. The bar scene in this movie is just going to be a whole bunch of millennials sitting there on their phone not saying anything.
Yeah.
Just click, click. And they're just going to text to each other. Hey, we should go fight crime. Click, 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 click. Yeah. Smiley face, hashtag New Mutants forever.
It doesn't really matter to me. I'll still see it. But the biggest concern is what I have with the X-Men movies is where they take characters from all the different time periods and mash them all together in the same movie.
Well, that's going to happen.
It looks the best on screen and it sells the best toys. Doesn't matter about the story. Anyways,
again, you're getting hung up on the original story, which changed 16, 17 different times during all new, all different, and New 52 and Crisis on Infinite Secret Wars. And
no, you know, I'm more hung up on a ninja Psylocke fighting with the first class of X-Men.
But you're okay that there's a ninja Psylocke? You take a British girl,
yeah,
right, who has these mental powers, and then all of a sudden she becomes this Asian ninja,
yeah,
and everyone's sitting there going, what?
But that's the point, is that nobody knows Betsy or the original Psylocke. It's just ninja Psylocke from the future somehow with the... anyways.
Yeah, I'm not that hung up about it. I've read enough. Like, in the 70s, routinely, like, one of my first comic books that I read was Superman number 200, and it was to do with the 67th anniversary of Canada. So two rocket ships landed on Earth, not one. One landed in Quebec, one landed in Kansas. The one in Quebec, he grew up to be Hyperman. And he became the Superman of Canada, and he met up with the Kansas Superman of America, and they had a little adventure, right? Like, we had those kind of stories all the time where, you know, it was done in one, here's the issue, here's the story, hey, are you entertained? Good, come back next week, we'll entertain you again, as opposed to, oh, in episode 42 of season 12 of Teenage Mutant Ninja New Generation, you distinctly show Leonardo with a purple sash, and yet on the original material from 1956 in the black and white cartoon, it was gray. You know? So they're not... I'm used to it, man. That's just the way comics used to be. You know, Batmite would come and mess everything up, and, you know, one day Lois Lane is Superwoman, the next day Lois Lane is an undercover reporter, and she's changed her race, and the next day there's this giant penny rolling down the hill, and Batman's running behind it, sitting on this giant phone going, Robin, quick, we must get the penny.
And then the next day they bring Lois Lane back as Superman.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I love continuity. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that there's this shared history and stuff and things go in, but I don't get bent out of shape when things don't match perfectly. Now, when things don't match at all, like New 52 Batman, oh, I've been Batman for 5 years and I've had six Robins. You know, that's outrageously.
Not that we need to get into that again.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of makes your head shake.
But for me personally,
yeah, I understand.
Having futuristic Psylocke fighting with the First Class would be the same as DC, whatever, starting the Batman movies all over again with Bruce Wayne as being in his 20s, 30s, and Cassandra Cain's his first Robin.
Sure, why not?
She's at the the circus with her parents.
They put Dick Grayson in Jason Todd's costume in the cartoons and nobody blinked. You know, oh no, Robin cannot be Jason Todd. Oh no, Robin has to be Dick Grayson, even though we're going to have a Nightwing character on the show too. Wait, oh, how did we do? Oh no, now what do we do? You know, so I don't get that hung up about it. It's fine. You know, it's Hollywood. You know,
But for some reason, Batman can't have five Robins in 5 years.
No, because that doesn't make any sense.
It's See, now, I
now,
agree.
Wait a minute. There's some kind of something's. What's what do they call that? What's the word for that?
No, it's not hypocritical.
Hypocritical.
Because,
that's the
like
word.
I said, if I couldn't
man.
Care less. I couldn't care less
he's
if they
here
had
to contradict you on every.
No,
point.
It's mathematically it's impossible.
Oh, now we're bringing math into a comic.
Mathematically, it's impossible.
Math just like, texted me just, and said, "Leave me out of this argument."
They just brought back in the comic books. They brought back the young first class X-Men.
Don't
right?
even get me started.
So they
Bandit
brought
Slover.
Them back and they threw them into our current timeline. So in the comics, you have little itty bitty teenage Cyclops hanging out with Ninja Psylocke. So why can't they do that in the movie? They did in the comics.
That's why I don't read the comic.
Well, there you go. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I got to catch up on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because I feel like there's a massive quantity of the exact same things in your most beloved comic book ever. Speaking
oh,
of,
boy.
We almost bought what? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 2?
9.8 graded the $900.
$900 for yep. the first print, Teenage Mutant
yeah.
Ninja Turtles number 2. How is it possible that that very iconic comic book
survived?
Is yeah, exactly. Super rare. Hard to keep. It was a extra size, weird size, so there wasn't readily available bags and boards back then. How is that comic book worth only $900? And you go and you take a look at, like, New Mutants 98. How much was that? It was like $850 or something out there at, yeah. the, at the store. How is that possible? That makes no sense.
No.
It makes no sense. It's because nobody likes the Turtles and nobody reads.
Well, you know what? I actually saw that they're putting out a second Ninja Turtles monthly comic now.
Yeah, yes, that was cool.
I did see that.
What do they call it? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe?
Yeah, I think so. That
so it's going to be expanded right. and talk about. So that'll be all right.
Yeah,
that'll be cool. That's fine. I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't begrudge you your turtles. You can like the turtles. They're cool. They're cool. They're old school.
Old school.
Somebody drew the turtles, and he had the TV show fact that they all had different color ribbons and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of put a post and I said, oh, you should make another version of your print. I wasn't the jerk and said, you've done it wrong. That's based on the cartoon. You should do it. I said, why don't you make another version that you can sell to more diehards where everybody's got red masks and stuff. Yeah. Right away, some little nerdling. Now, that's pretty bad when a comic nerd calls somebody else a nerdling geek.
Yeah.
But some other nerdling was like, how would you know which character is which character if they're all the same color? Yeah, it's because of people like you that they change it for the cartoon.
Let's see. Let's start with their weapons. Go with their personalities. Yeah, anyways.
Well, you can't see personalities.
You can't see personalities, but you can
maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
if the artist is good.
Yeah, if the art, you know, one guy's carrying a pizza.
Yeah.
The other guy's brooding all the time.
Yeah.
Because facial expression on an anamorphic turtle face is so easy.
Oh, man.
Anyways, what else you got?
The rest of this is basically the new CGC case, which I have no. I don't know if we need to talk about that or if you guys care. Or...
Oh, they just changed the case that CGC is using because the plastic that they were using is being discontinued or something like that. I don't know the exact details. So they basically took this opportunity to improve the case a little bit. It's more easier to see through. So it's more. I'm not gonna say it's more transparent. It's got better clarity. Right.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at it, it looks, it's like the difference between looking through a Mylar comic book bag and a plastic comic book bag. It's just easier to see everything. All the labels are inside the case, so you don't have any problems like that. A few little tweaks and stuff like that. And apparently they're supposed to photograph easier.
Yeah, they're taking away a lot of the lines that you see when you put the plastic together. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Crystal clear display, it says.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know, is there going to, like, you're a CGC kind of guy there, Dan. Are you going to send all your old cases in to get reholdered into the new case?
Probably not, because I don't even send the ones that are broken.
Now, I do have a Captain Canuck. I think it's issue 8. It's a 9.8, but it's in the very, very first CGC case. So it's got the really old style label and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I might send that in, or I might keep it because it's, you know, kind of original and it's a little cool. So
is there going to be collectibility to old CGC cases?
I don't think so.
No,
only from Tony, so he can smash them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I don't think so.
So some newer news. More of a tease than anything. This whole Death of X storyline in Marvel.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
I have literally dropped every single Marvel comic book because of that. Well, not really. It's because I'm DC and I'm praying to the comic gods that DC reboot doesn't bite the biscuit.
Yeah.
Please be good. Well, please be good.
No news, but people are, I don't know if they're reading too, well, they're probably not reading too much into it. Anyways.
So basically everybody who's dead comes back alive.
No, that's a whole Spider-Man thing. This is Death of X. This is somebody, apparently, in X-Men who's going to die. That whole dead no more is that's a Spider-Man centric. Yeah.
So I thought we were talking about in the car that Xavier's coming back and...
I'm not sure where that came from, to be honest with you.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's totally Spider-Man. Anyways, so apparently retailers have been offered extraordinary discounts on all in-stock X-Men collections as part of what it calls the Death of X sale, with extraordinary being in quotation marks.
So that's like trade paperbacks and stuff and omnibuses and stuff, right?
Well, the extraordinary part being extraordinary X-Men, that maybe possibly the death of whoever's going to die is one of the current characters in extraordinary X-Men. That's the... Because they use the word extraordinary, that's what people are putting together.
Are these the same people that put together, oh, look, if you Superman, say Batgirl, Superman versus Batman is doing poorly in its third week, so DC's going to rethink everything and they're not going to make as many movies. Meanwhile, like, there's a press release 3 days later saying, we've added 2 movies and we're moving up the release of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, the DC Warner Brothers is completely rethinking their schedule and they're going to be dropping all their movies and they're not going to make as many movies. And 2 days later, an official press release saying we've added 2 movies to the schedule and we've moved Wonder Woman up. Like, really? I just seem like these news sites are really grasping and reaching. It just doesn't, I don't know. Yeah. What was the other news item that was true? But the Killing Joke thing.
Don't start.
No, Killing Joke's being pulled out of continuity. Is it really? Has it been pulled out of continuity? Has DC published a comic that said this is not in continuity? No. So then what happens? Birds of Prey is going to talk about how Killing Joke happened and what happened and stuff. Yeah. So we actually got news from somebody who's actually writing the comic saying, I don't know who told you that other stuff, but we're writing the book. We've got it approved. And it's not out of continuity, so not sure where you got that strange information from. Bleeding Cooled.
So here's a question for you. If by chance the death is in Extraordinary X-Men, and it's, let's name a character who dies all the time in the X-Men.
But who the heck is in Extraordinary X-Men nowadays?
Jean Grey.
Don't they have... Oh, come on.
Do you imagine... So, if they killed Jean Grey...
How many times are they going to kill that poor woman?
In the present, who's from the past.
How many times are they going to kill that poor woman?
Meaning she never existed. How would you feel about that?
What?
Would you like, oh, that's a good story? I don't care about continuity.
Oh, no. The whole diverging storyline, timeline thing that's been established in Star Trek, in comic books, and in science fiction, the second that they were brought to our time period, it created a different time stream. So that's completely here nor there. So they could do whatever the heck they want. But, I mean, why are they killing her again?
Well, I'm just assuming. Because it's only rumor, speculation, because they use that word extraordinary.
I'm going to pull the feminist card here. Kill a dude.
Yeah.
Why do they keep picking on this girl? Leave her alone. Stop killing her. Kill somebody else, like, I don't know, Wolverine. Oh, wait. Oops. Kill Wolverine. Cyclops. Oops. Well, maybe they should kill Nightcrawlers. Oops. Jeez Louise.
Oh, boy. So
Marvel sure hex likes to kill all their characters, don't they?
Yeah. But then they bring them back, and fanboys like Martin say, oh, that's cool. It doesn't matter anyways.
Well, it's not like I have a choice.
Hello.
Not like I drop titles. Whatever.
It's called having an opinion and not saying, oh, well, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with opinions. Anyways. Opinions are like back ends. Right. Everybody's got one.
That's right.
And a lot of stuff comes out of them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily quality stuff. So what else you got?
Well, I don't know. You don't know exactly what this means, but because Spidey, if you haven't seen the trailer, is in Civil War.
Yeah.
And they're going to reboot the movie, the Spider-Man movies again.
Again.
now that Spider-Man is back in the Avengers universe, apparently we will be seeing more familiar characters in Spidey's movies.
It depends, because I know that the deal with Sony was a little bit on the limited side, and stuff that they're getting away with in the Avengers movie and the first Spider-Man movie, they may or may not be able to get away with in future movies.
Well, you can talk to Mr. Kevin Feige.
Mr. Feige,
because he's the one that confirmed that. If you don't believe it...
No, if Kevin says it's happening, it's happening.
Though. You can call him and say that's not happening,
Kevin. Now, did Rich Johnson say that Kevin Feige said this, or is there actually like proof that Kevin Feige said this?
Well, there's quotation marks after his name, so I'm assuming he said it. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to see, like, massive team-ups or anything, but you'll see, like, you know, cameos and stuff like that. I don't think...
Iron Man flying through the sky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because...
So the next Spider-Man movie isn't going to be Civil War. That's actually just an Avengers movie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, Civil War's coming out, and Spidey's going to be in it, but there's going to be a standalone.
I was making a joke, because this is supposed to be a Captain America movie, but it's just an Avengers movie.
It's, yeah.
It depends on who you ask.
It should be called Marvel Civil War, not Avengers Civil War, not Spidey Civil War, just not Captain America Civil War.
Well, the thing is that we know that Robert Downey Jr. gets a very major paycheck from every Avengers movie and every Iron Man movie.
That's good enough reason to change the title.
I don't know if Chris, help me out here.
Hemsworth?
No. Plays Captain America.
Oh, Evans?
Yes. I don't know if Chris Evans has as much of a sweet deal. I suspect not because this is being called Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they couldn't have just called it. I guess maybe the other thing is that they get to use up one of his contracts, because he's contracted for X number of movies.
Yeah.
So instead of offering him a new contract, they can say, okay, well, this is part of the Captain America thing. So, you know, we're going to burn one of your contracts in here, like one of your appearances. You don't get any extra.
No, money. I know Robert Downey Jr. is in it, but this is a Captain America movie, Chris.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody who gets paid a heck of a lot of money figured out that this is how this should be.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's got more Avengers than we've ever seen in any movie.
But, I mean, just because it's called Captain America, is that going to take away from your enjoyment of the fact that there's all these different characters and it's cool and we get to see Ant-Man on Hawkeye's Arrowhead? Come on!
Sorry, I'll stop having opinions.
That was one of the best covers ever. And I'm a DC guy. And I looked at that cover and went, that's amazing. Great. Like, didn't you get goosebumps when you saw it?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, Underoos! Underoos. That was a good one.
That was all right. But why is his eye moving? Why is the eye of the mask moving? What's that all about? What?
I honestly think if he's on Tony's team, then Tony's given some upgrades to his suit.
He can't have an upgrade. He's a reboot. He didn't get the suit. It's a new suit. It's
not upgrade. Just accept the way things are, Martin. You don't have opinions about these things.
Yeah, exactly. You can have opinions. You're just not allowed to have ulcers about your opinions. That's all I care about.
It is just the way it is.
You're allowed to have an opinion. Just don't, like, you know, text me 17 times. Oh, my gosh, do you know what just happened? Explain this. And then when I explain, you're like, no, that's not good enough.
Now, I want to point something out here.
Yeah.
Odds are, because I don't read a lot of news, and odds are I would have never known about the whole Killing Joke didn't happen thing, because I would have missed the two issues of Batgirl and just gone right over it. Never would have known it unless somebody put the first article up on one of our Facebook pages saying, gee, Chris is really not going to like this article. That's the only reason why.
Somebody that you know enjoys disturbing the fecal matter.
That's right.
He enjoys stirring the pot. Throwing a few wasps in the bear's den.
That's right.
And watching the hilarity ensue. I don't know who that fella is.
Yes, that would be the same guy that purchased 40 comics at Pickering Market this morning. Glasses, beard. Yeah.
You're just jealous because I bought 40 comics.
Yeah. And it wasn't me with the glasses and the beard.
No. Last bit of
you do
news
get the,
I found
You do
here.
Get the last laugh about that over that whole Twilight Zone thing.
Yeah, because you bought the wrong thing.
Oh, I don't even want to get into it. Should we get into it?
I don't know.
So a year ago, we were at the Lakeville Flea Market, and somebody sold me the very first issue number one of Dell Comics' Twilight Zone. And a couple of comic book experts that I haven't had a chance to talk to that I'm going to have to yeah, it's great. You know, we're going to have a chat with him. Said, hey, look, it's the first Twilight Zone comic. You should buy it. It's only $150. You should buy this. It's a great investment. You can turn around and flip it. I'm like, okay. So I bought it.
Yeah.
Today, in that pile of 40, I found another copy. And I went, oh, cool. I now own two.
And you're, this one costs you what today?
$2.50.
Yeah.
Now, it's in worse shape, but it's better than a $2.50 comic.
Yeah.
You went online and you point out, that's actually issue number 3. So I'm like, what?
What I said was, that's not number 1.
What?
And you went on and figured out it was number 3.
What? So then I do some investigating, and what it was is Dell Comics and Gold Key, Dell and Gold Key Western Publishing, they had an absolutely atrocious numbering system. Like, the Star Trek comics are issue 801-00146-23. You know, it's silly things like that.
Yeah.
So what it was they had a line of comics called Four Color Comics. And in that line, they did 2 one-shot Twilight Zone comics. Then they decided to make a Twilight Zone ongoing. And my comic is the first issue of that ongoing series. And in the actual copyright notice, when you flip the page open, it says issue number 1.
Right.
But it is not the first Twilight Zone comic ever made.
Because they were like one-shots almost.
They were one-shotty kind of things. So there is indeed, this is indeed the third Twilight Zone comic book ever published. But it is number one of the ongoing series. So in theory, the other two are a little bit more valuable because they're older. But this one does say number 1. And anybody want to buy a comic book for $150 before my wife knows?
But what does it sell for, like, typically, like, on eBay? Like, is it worth something other than
$250? Well, when me and Tony looked at it last year, we figured with a decent pressing and grading, we could probably get about $400-$450 for the company.
So it's not like it's worthless.
It's not like it's worthless, but it's not as cool as I thought it was. So it immediately went from the, oh, I got to keep this, this is awesome pile, to the, I need to sell this as soon as flipping possible. So expect to see that sucker out at the barn shortly. And so the one that's $2.50 will have a slight buyer's premium on it and will not sell for $2.50 at the bar.
Now, I wish I had saw that last 2 weeks ago when I was there and picked it up. So, hey, didn't you have this one like last year for $150? Darn, I missed it. And I saw all those Twilight Zone. So the trick with Twilight Zone is make sure they say Dell on them.
Yeah, there's 4 or 5 issues, I can't remember exactly, that say Dell on them. As opposed to Gold Key, and then they start with the Gold Key.
Not that there's anything wrong with the Gold Key books.
No, nothing at all. Like we were at Comic Alley Toys, and the very first Gold Key branded Twilight Zone he had on sale for $70. So it's still, you know, if you, the thing with the Gold Keys is you find those in antique malls and stuff cheap because people don't know what they are.
Yeah,
like your Black Hole is a perfect example of that. You know, some issues were incredibly readily available because they were then re-released in those multi-packs. Some of them that weren't are, you know, a little bit pricier, a little harder to find. So there are still some gems in there, but wow, there's a lot of chaff to go through before you find those.
But that's the fun of it, though.
Speaking of chaff, here's a segue to wheat.
Wheat. Where does wheat come from?
Saskatchewan. And what else comes from Saskatchewan?
Aurora Man.
Well, that's right. So, Jeff Burton launched his Aurora Man Kickstarter this past Wednesday. And so with 25 days to go in the campaign, they're already at 81% funded.
That's fantastic. I signed up first day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Not me, though.
Yeah, that's what we were about to get to. Yeah.
No, it's because I can't decide which reward to go with.
Well, we went for the sketch cover. I'm getting my sketch cover from Jason Schnauf. I should really meet the guy and find out how he pronounces his name. I don't feel bad because he'll mispronounce my name. So, he was the artist of that Canadian core from S17. Yeah. Really, like, I think he's a great artist. So he's going to be doing a couple of sketch covers. I think 10 different sketch covers. So that's the one that I bought, a sketch cover from him. Yeah. Now, you got a sketch cover too. Was it from him or from
the artist of the book? My understanding.
And who's that? Artist of the book? Anybody remember? Not off the top of our head.
I thought Dan might know, but
Well, I...
No. We're frantically scrolling here to find out. But, Justin does have a some art in it, because it says here there's some panels from him. So maybe it is Justin. I know he's going to have a couple of, pinups and stuff in the issue and things like that, so it'll be pretty good. Partnered with writer Andrew Lawrence and Saskatchewan-based artist Justin Schoff,
yeah.
Colorist. Yeah, so you probably got the same one that I did.
Yeah, it was a $50 one. It was 10 of 10. There was only 10 available.
Yeah. Now, there was something really cool here. I just scrolled past it, but I got to find it here somewhere.
Went backwards.
Oh, I can do this. I can do this. Is this a left-handed mouse? Where? There was something really cool here. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves till I find it.
Yeah, I'm trying to look because I didn't remember seeing that stuff. What level is that at?
I think the $50.
I was going to say, after making my pledge to the Auric campaign and getting the original page from Auric, I'm really into that kind of stuff.
Now, let's just read this little section here from the Kickstarter page. It's basically Mr. Burton saying, "While this project was just getting off the ground, it has already been flagged in certain media circles. I did an interview for the Hey Kids Comic Radio Show in Peterborough, Ontario, which is a great surprise since they had discovered Aurora Man through Facebook. But dang!
Yeah.
Ba-boom!
That's us.
We are
in on the ground floor here for this.
Kapow! Kabam!
We're just going to go to commercials while Marty pats himself on the back here.
If I could reach, I would pat myself on the back. I don't know if I can get there. I think I pulled something.
You're slapping yourself in the back of the head.
But damn, they are approaching their target quicker than they thought, so they are doing something different.
And so, because, a lot of times when they when Kickstarter things go over their amount, they have stretch goals. Jeff was saying that the comic was originally planned to be in black and white, but they're going to do it in color now because they've got enough support that they know they'll be able to do that. And also that they are planning some little things right now to go with it. And he's got some 8-bit character designs of Aurora Man and some of the other side characters that they're planning to put on buttons and magnets. And it's done by somebody at 8bithero.org.
Now, I personally haven't read any Aurora Man, but everything that I see ticks off every single one of my little Canadian funny bone comic book joy buttons. Like, it's a fun concept. The art is really cool. The guys that are doing it are fun loving and doing it for the right reasons. It's just one of those. It's Pitiful Human Lizard all over again. It's just a fun thing. So I'm all in. Everything that I've seen so far, this just looks like a hoot.
Yeah,
should be great.
Now these pins and stuff. How do they distribute them? Do they give them to people who've already pledged at different levels? Or?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah,
usually with stretch goals and stuff. It depends on what kind of stretch goals are. Like, for example, one of Rachel Ritchie's reprints of the Canadian Whites. I can't remember which one, whether it was Brock Windsor or maybe it could have been both. Brock Windsor Brock Windsor was Hope's. Nelvana, which she did with Hope, and then Johnny Canuck. One of the stretch goals was everybody gets a hardcover. So the soft covers became hardcovers because she raised enough money to upgrade everybody.
Right.
So everybody got a hardcover. Yeah. That kind of idea. You get an extra print or something like that, or a book plate. So it's one of those things where if you reach certain levels, and it's completely arbitrary, like it's totally up to the guy creating the Kickstarter to decide.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine that, I think there was one Kickstarter... I think it's Die Kitty Die. So what they did is they had some additional rewards and stuff, but you had to pay for those rewards. Yeah. So and not much. It was like, just like help us cover the manufacturing, the shipping of this extra little thing that we're going to do, and we'll create some extras.
But so if you haven't had a chance to pledge yet, you can head over to Kickstarter, just search up Aurora Man. Exactly. It's the only thing that comes up. Not surprisingly.
It is awesome.
I think we have a link or two on our
Facebook page as well, and probably all over our personal Facebook pages as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Did you see that pretty awesome? He showed it on the cover there, the Captain Canuck and Aurora Man.
Yeah.
In Humboldt. Jeff's from Humboldt in Saskatchewan, the town of Humboldt. So the character's going to be in that town. Everything's being taking place in his hometown, which I just love that idea. Yeah. So there's a picture of Aurora Man and Captain Canuck. And
that's going to be a variant cover for one of the cons out there.
Yeah, it's going to be one of pretty the... pretty cool. The all-new, all-classic Canuck variant covers, or so we've been led to believe.
Now, yes. Was it that we saw that clock tower that looked awfully like the one in Peterborough?
Yes.
Did we determine that it's probably not, right?
It's probably just, you know, like a regional thing.
Where it looked an awful lot like Peterborough Square, though.
It did. It's just missing the top of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be good. Should be fun. I can't wait. I'm just going to pass this around at the start. I do not have this picture. You didn't see this picture.
The picture's right there, though. Yeah, but... Oh, yeah, with the label. With a label.
Oh, yes.
With what we refer to as trade dress. So, you know, it's...
Is that intellectual property?
The Humboldt Summer Sizzler Comic-Con is the... That's going to be cool. That doesn't have an issue number on it, so I don't know when that is.
Sounds like a road trip to me, but that's just me.
road trip
to Saskatchewan.
To Saskatchewan.
I'm in.
You know what it takes a couple days to get there straight driving?
I'm not going to the prairies. I used to play that little 8-bit video game. What was it? Settlers Pass or something where everybody ate everybody? I'm a city boy. I can't go over there. I've seen enough corner gas. I'm not going to Saskatchewan. Yeah. Nah, it's not true. I'd go for an incident. It looks like a hoot.
Yeah.
Looks like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's about all the time that we've got for tonight.
Aww.
I think.
Aww.
Intellectual properties took up the first half of the show.
Yeah. Maybe we should just lock the door and not let the next guys in to do their show.
Yeah.
Hey, let us in. Listen. Shut up. We're talking about comics.
All right, then.
I don't think we've got another hour's worth of stuff to talk about.
Alrighty, then.
All right, so yes.
Wait, one quick second. I hope to have a surprise next week. We'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll end with that. Yep. See you next week.
You're going to wear pants this time in the radio booth?
You are listening to Trent Radio, CFFF 92.7 FM, from Peterborough, Ontario, Canada.